we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Happy New Year's Eve to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs. You are listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast, 91.5 FM. And today is really one of those interesting days where we look at it and all of a sudden, it doesn't matter how long we have been procrastinating and putting off accomplishing a life goal. Today is a day of hope and anticipation that tomorrow starts a new day, a new year, a clean slate, and we get to do life better, more in line with what God's Word has to say than we've ever done it before. And so a lot of people will make New Year's resolutions, and they will set out and say, and I'll be honest with you, a lot of people say, I know that I'm going to have a lot of food tomorrow with New Year's celebrations and all of that. So they'll set their start date for January the 2nd instead of January the 1st. My wife used to have to work a lot of holidays, and her instructions to the kids, who were all younger at the time, was be sure and feed and water the dad while I'm gone, you know, because I like to watch college football. And it's an opportunity for a clean slate. But let me describe to you that we need to be careful to guard our hearts, because I have known too many people who ruined their 2015, or they ruined their new year. And I don't know of anybody who's ruined 2015 yet. We're not yet. But I've known too many people who ruined their new year before the sun ever came up on January the 1st. And so I encourage you to have as one of your aspirations for 2015 to be a representative who lives the life of the kingdom of God with Jesus Christ as King. And so and I also encourage you, instead of just making a resolution, to ask God to give you a heart of resolve, a heart that says, I am determined, I'm going to fix my eyes, I'm going to set my face in the direction that God has for me to go. I am going to be extremely focused on what God wants me to be focused on. People of resolve not only solve problems, but people of resolve have direction, they have purpose, and they have power. So those are just a couple of little thoughts for New Year's to get 2014 wrapped up with. Today, we want to mention to you, now I think that classes for this begin again on Tuesday. I do want to let you know that on this Wednesday that we do not have our vintage service. We don't have that going on. We don't have our boys and girls ministries going on tonight. Our offices are actually closed this week. But we do have a prayer meeting Saturday night at 7 o'clock. And then on Sunday morning, we have a special emphasis. We call it our first fruits. But rather than it being a conference, it's just our first fruit service this year. And we invite you to come out and be a part of that. A few years ago, God laid that term on my heart, and we set out. We had a revival like the very first week in January. It was either the first Sunday. And that was so key in breakthrough that year that God really began to do doing some incredible things in our congregation. And so we have set our hearts again to honor God with our first fruits, with that very first Sunday. And we're believing that he is going to accomplish great and mighty things. So, but the thing that I wanted to mention to you, some of the friends of the program are Ted and Linda Empsom. They have Advanced Christian Training School. It meets in our fellowship hall at from 6 to 9 on Tuesday nights. I believe that that will be resuming this coming Tuesday. If you have more questions, you could reach them at 633-0432. 633-0432. Mention to them that you heard about it here on the Refresh Radio program. And I just want to let you know that they just meet there. They're not, it's not a Merit Assembly of God ministry, but we believe in making disciples. And so don't expect Charles Stanley to show up. Even though he's one of the instructors that they use on video, he's not going to be there in person. They are there to help you walk and to grow and mature in your faith. So today I want to take you to Matthew, the 16th chapter. We're talking about life inside the kingdom. I just want to remind you that it was a kingdom that God prepared specifically for you from the foundation of the world. It is not an accident that he wants you to be a part of the kingdom. And in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13, it says, "When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' So they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' But he said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter answered and said, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.' Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day." This is a question that each and every one of us are going to have to answer. And it's this is a dialogue, a discussion that was initiated by Jesus. A lot of times conversations were initiated because of somebody sought Jesus out to ask him a question. Sometimes they just happened to be at that point in that place. But Jesus was making disciples. He was turning people who were just following him. He was training them as disciples to continue his ministry after he had ascended to the right hand of the Father. And so he asked them this question. He says, "Who are people saying that I am?" And the reason, how do I want to say this? There are people who will not tell me things that they will tell other people because I'm the pastor. And so there are other people, and they will go and they will talk to them. They will say things to them. And so Jesus just, who are people saying that I am? What are they saying about me? What are they saying about the ministry? What are they saying, that they believe? And, a shepherd is supposed to know the condition of his flocks. Now, Jesus knows all things, and so, he knew what was in people's hearts before they knew what was in people's hearts. And so he would, a lot of times, in a hostile environment, he would begin to address those situations because he knew what was in their hearts. And because he knew that, it says that he didn't entrust himself to certain people because they didn't have the right heart attitude. And so He says, who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, I want you to see that when he asks the question, he already gives them the answer. He already gives them the answer. He says, who are they saying that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, I want you to know that you can ask all 7 billion people on the planet, and all 7 billion people can give their opinion, but their opinion does not change the reality. Jesus began and he said, people are saying, and I want to ask you, who do people say that I am? But here's the answer. I'm the Son of Man. I'm the Son of Man. And so they began to list some say you're John the Baptist, because John the Baptist had a powerful ministry and you've got a powerful ministry. And that's really always kind of an unusual comment there, because John the Baptist and Jesus were contemporaries. John was only 6 months older than Jesus was. They were related, and they had actually been in the same place at the same time. John the Baptist had actually baptized Jesus. So that one always kind of intrigues me. Some say Elijah. Elijah was one of those prophetic voices, and Malachi talks about, that there would be one that would come in the spirit of Elijah and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the fathers. And that was actually John the Baptist's role. That was not Jesus' role. John the Baptist came because there was one greater than him that was coming after him. And then they say, some say Jeremiah, and some say, he's just one of the miscellaneous prophets. And I want you to know that Jesus wasn't content in just wanting to know what the popular opinions of him in society was. But then he narrowed the scope of the question, and he says, but what about you? What about you? Who do you say that I am? So let me ask you, what does your life in 2014, what has it said? How has your life answered the question? I was talking with somebody in the store, one of the stores the other day, and listen, I just talk to people. I just really do. If I'm there and I can initiate a conversation, I will. And as we were in this conversation, one of the people that I was talking to said, you know, I've been in your church. I've been, and turned out he had been in a wedding. And so I now, because of the way that the landscape has changed and with the judicial rulings and things like that, and even though they're not pounding on our doors and asking us to do marriages that I cannot in good conscience do, we've had to change the way that we operate in certain aspects. But whenever in the past I have done a wedding, I've always made sure that people went through premarital counseling. And I would tell them at the very onset, I'd say this: please don't tell me the answer that you think I want to hear. Please answer the questions truthfully, because only if you answer the questions truthfully can we get any place. And so Jesus narrows the scope and he says, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? And before you just give off some memorized answer, I want to ask you to look at your spiritual life right now and ask yourself, who do I testify that Jesus is by the life that I live? Because some people's answer would be, Jesus is a convenience in my life. Jesus is simply a convenience. I turn to him, if I don't have anything else to do, if I'm bored, then I'll just go ahead and I'll go to church because, I've got I don't have anything better to do. And I tell you, if you treat Jesus as a convenience when you're an adult, your kids will treat him even less than that. Some people would say Jesus is my parachute. He's my emergency escape hatch. He's the person I turn to when things get crazy and chaotic in my life, and I just turn to him and I pull the ripcord, and he's the one I turn to in case of an emergency. He's my emergency escape hatch. Some people would say, you know, well, he's just part of my background. He is part of my tradition. You know, I was raised like this, and I just continue to go on and do the same things that my parents always did. And, you know, some believe that he was a prophet. Some believe that he was a teacher. Some believe that he was crazy. Some people don't believe that he exists at all. And I will just tell you this. In all of those things, whether the question was about who does society say that I am? Well, what about you? Who do you say that I am? None of those answers change the reality. Remember, Jesus had already given the answer, I, the Son of Man, am. But when Jesus asked them, what about you? And I will say this, each one of us are going to have to answer that question. That is the 64 million year question. That's just my way of saying it's the eternal question. Your eternity hinges upon the answer to that question, not with words that come flowing across your lips. Listen, I can talk to my phone and my phone can talk to me back, but it doesn't have any emotional attachment to it. It will just give me the response that I have asked the information for. God's not looking for information. He's looking for relationship. And he says, what about you? Who do you say that I am? And it says, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so he goes, and Jesus says, you have answered correctly. Basically, he said, you blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Revelation of Jesus is a divine gift. And I'm sure that, last Thursday was Christmas, and I'm sure that we all got a lot of great gifts. But let me tell you something. When God reveals something to you in the Spirit, it is a divine gift. It is indicative of a blessing that has become ours, that is a gift from the Father. And he says, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it. Now I want you to know that just a little bit later in verse 23, Peter tries to instill his will upon Jesus instead of embracing Jesus' will that is coming, that is leading him to the cross. And Jesus' response to him at that time is, get behind me, Satan, you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Is there anybody else that sometimes you frustrate your own self? You know, one minute you're a man of faith, and the next minute you are blowing it big time. Does that, you know, I want you to know that if that's ever been you, that God loves you. When I think about all of the ways that Peter, a lot of times he spoke without his brain engaging or brain kicking in. And Peter denied Jesus three times after saying that he was willing to die for him. And then when Jesus was raised from the dead, he said, oh, by the way, go tell my disciples, and specifically tell Peter that I am alive. And that and Peter ran to the cross, and he saw evidence that was in line with what the people said. But later that day, Jesus appeared to Peter. And I want you to know that if you've ever been a man of faith and then you've been a person who blew up big time, you know, one minute God's praising you and the next minute he's saying, you know, you've got a mind full of the things of men and you don't have a mind full of the things of God, that we can still confess our sins. And he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't allow the enemy to deceive you into believing that if you've blown it, you've blown it forever. Remember that God is a God of mercy, and he will forgive you. But listen, he also empowered Peter to where he was a man of faith. He was a man of boldness. He was a man of holiness. And so I want to encourage you, don't settle for blowing it when it can just be a propulsion into a lifestyle of holiness. But Jesus goes on in verse number 19, he says, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now, Jesus tells him, "I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom." And I don't believe that those were just given to Peter. I just went on that monologue about Peter, how he was a man of faith and then he blew it, because I don't believe that it was Peter that the church was being built on as much as it was the revelation that was coming to Peter as a gift from the Heavenly Father. That is what was going to be the church was going to be built upon. Listen, if Merit Assembly of God is not built upon Bob Arthur's, Merit Assembly of God is built upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want people to become so enamored or attached to me that their faith is built upon me, because I'm a faulty foundation. But my foundation is on a solid foundation. And so I will tell people, like Paul did, follow me as I follow Jesus. But you don't want to get into man worship. We are only supposed to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so Jesus expresses to Peter and the rest of the disciples that when we receive that revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Father gives us the keys to the kingdom. And it says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The point of this entire message that I wanted to get across to you today on this radio program is this. God wants you and I to have access to the kingdom life, the kingdom of heaven. He wants us to see that, and he wants it manifest on earth the way that it is in heaven. And so there are things that have been committed into our hands that it's our choice. We have been given the authority. Listen, if you study, you will find that this was a rabbinical practice, the practice of binding and loosing, And it says, if you bind it on earth, it is going to take place in the heavenlies, because we had received the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And he says, and if you loose it on earth, it will be loosed in heaven. In 2015, I bind the power of the enemy in our lives. I bind the power of sickness. I bind the power of discouragement. I bind the spirit of hopelessness. I bind the spirit of victimization. And I loose the spirit of holiness into my life and into your life. I loose a passion for the Word of God. I loose a passion for the body of Christ, where you long to come together and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I loose spiritual revelation in your life. I loose breakthrough in your marriage and your finances. I loose breakthrough in our churches and in our communities, that barriers would be shattered, that walls of division would be broken down. Today, I want to communicate to you, it is the desire of the Father for every person in Brevard County to know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. In the last days, it says that people will follow deceiving spirits. Can we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, bind the spirit of deception in our county and loose the spirit of truth? Can we bind the spirit of complaining and loose a spirit of worship, a worship that is done in spirit and in truth? Can we bind the spirit of complacency and apathy and loose a passion and a hunger and a thirst for the things of God? Can we loose a desire for souls to be birthed into the kingdom of God? Today, I pray that that the end of this year would be the end of an immature mindset, and it would be the launching pad to a mature mindset. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought like a child, I acted like a child, I spoke like a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Can 2015 be a breakthrough year for us as we grow up for the sake of the King? And I pray that in your life, in your home, at your workplace, in your family, that the way that life is done in heaven will be the way that life is done in your home and in your life. You know how it's done in heaven? The angels constantly gather around the throne. They receive a word from God. They receive an assignment from God. They go and they do it. And they return back to Him and they say, mission accomplished. 2014 is coming to a close. That mission is accomplished, but there's a new mission that is on the way. Happy New Year. And let me just close out this time in prayer. Father, I pray that in 2014, Lord, that it would be the end of an era, and Lord, that we would begin to mature in our walk with You. I pray that 2015 would be a year of breakthrough, deliverance, and power, of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords being Lord over our everyday life. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.